Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we speak with Allison Cruz about her unusual experiences near her home in rural Pennsylvania. We'd also like to thank listeners for supporting WBAI. Thank you very much for also supporting In Other News. We go now to some of the stories in other news. Here's one. Harvard study finds fluoride lowers IQ. Published in a federal government journal. Harvard University researchers review fluoride brain studies conclude, our results support the possibility of adverse effects of fluoride exposures on children's neurodevelopment. This was published online July 20th in Environmental Health Perspectives, a U.S. National Institute of Environmental Health journals. And this is a report from the New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation. The children in high fluoride areas had significantly lower IQ than those who lived in low fluoride areas. Further, the EPA says fluoride is a chemical with substantial evidence of developmental neurotoxicity. Flacillic acid is added to U.S. water supplies at approximately 1 part per million, attempting to reduce tooth decay. Water was the only fluoride source in the studies reviewed and was based on high water fluoride levels. However, they point out research suggested that low water fluoride levels had significant negative associations with children's intelligence. Here's a quote. Although fluoride may cause neurotoxicity in animal models, and acute fluoride poisoning causes neurotoxicity in adults, very little is known of its effects on children's neurodevelopment. They recommend more brain fluoride research on children and at individual level doses. Quote, it's senseless to keep subjecting our children to this ongoing fluoridation experiment to satisfy the political agenda of special interest groups, says attorney Paul Bieber. He's the New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation president. Quote, even if fluoridation reduces cavities, is tooth health more important than brain health? It's time to put politics aside and stop artificial fluoridation everywhere, says Bieber. After reviewing fluoride toxicological data, the NRC reported in 2006, quote, it's apparent that fluorides have the ability to interfere with the functions of the brain. Fluoride accumulates in the body, right, just like radiation does. Even low doses are harmful to babies, the thyroid, kidney patients, and heavy water drinkers. There's New York City legislation pending to stop fluoridations. Many communities have already stopped. Listeners, if you are in a supermarket and you see those gallon water jugs of infant formula water, check to see if fluoride is added. If the fluoride is added, remember, that's going into a baby, a little baby, and it's going to affect the baby's IQ. All right, here's a Harvard study saying this is what happens. And I've done this. Ask the store managers to remove the product. Tell them it's illegal. That's what attorney Paul Bieber has said. To sell that product, it is illegal. Yet it's still on the shelf. Thank you, attorney Paul Bieber, for staying on this issue. She's one of the top UFO researchers who has captured some of the best video evidence of aerial activity near her home in rural Pennsylvania. Her YouTube channel was UFOs PA, but last year in March, her account was hacked and more than 160 UFO videos were deleted. She's since rebuilt her channel and her traffic has come back. But what's going on here? Is the footage too sensitive to be posted? Is she getting too close to something? Allison is also corroborating her evidence with scores of other people around the world that post similar material. She uses infrared scopes to capture the night activity within and above the nearby hills and ridge lines. We talk with her about the patterns of movement at night and during the day, and many other anomalies that are revealed through collecting video evidence. Allison Cruz, welcome to Another News.
And thank you for having me.
For listeners, and I suspect many of them who really don't know what you're doing, can you give them a brief overview of maybe a description of the area that you're filming in, the topography, and what you're seeing?
Well, I'm in a place called Murraysville in Pennsylvania that's about 20 miles east of Pittsburgh. It's the start of the Laurel Highland Ridgeline, and it's a series of rolling hills with deep valleys in between. And it's heavily wooded. The houses are pretty far and spread out, and they're mostly the thick forest that you have very few areas that you could see to the top of them. We started noticing what looked like orange fireballs and lights in the trees that we started watching and putting surveillance cameras out, and silent flying blinking craft that would, I mean, they looked like they were going to crash into the neighbor's house. You know, they dive down in the woods.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was back in 2008 when it started.
Back in 2008, you started noticing this?
Well, my daughter had the first sighting in June of 2008. She was sneaking, talking on the phone about 3:30 in the morning, and she saw what she thought was a weird, strange, glowing red plane coming up the valley, and it stopped and hovered over the neighbor's house, which sits down in the valley, and, you know, within the tree line, which is only about 600-700 feet across to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Drew a picture of it, because she wasn't into UFOs or science fiction at all. And when she drew a classic saucer shape. She said it had a row of white lights that went around it. And I was like, holy cow! So UFO.
Allison, were you already into this?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I mean, I've heard stories, but it's one of those things that, yeah, it sounds great. That'd be cool to see one, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I had to see it several times for me to even, you know, grasp the fact that that's what they had.
I know what you mean. You've filmed a lot of these objects over the past 4 or 5 years now. You've captured these luminous objects on the branches of trees in thick wooded areas near your where you live with the infrared, and you're using infrared, the night vision. Can you describe the metamorphosis here? Because you've uncovered a really interesting, almost beautiful thing that's going on. I don't know if it's dangerous or what's really happening here, but it is mysterious and kind of interesting to look at.
Well, it started out, like I said, with random objects. When you just see a random object here and there, you know, just one UFO, and it looks like this certain shape, or you see, you know, one that's green ball light, or you see a triangle craft, you don't really fit the puzzle pieces together. For some reason, my area, they find attractive. From comparing other UFO hotspots that have similar activity,
mm-hmm.
seems to be a geological attractive to this particular group. I can't speak and try to generalize on every ET race that might be coming visiting Earth. This particular group that usually presents itself as like the orange fireballs is the most common way to show it.
The other areas that are hotspots that you know of are also unique geologically?
Well, not unique, but in mineral rich. They tend to be mineral rich. A lot of them have either a lot of cool deposits, like Lee Summit, Missouri, is a hot spot with the same type. And when I started checking maps for high radon gas levels, because we have high radon gas levels, and since it sinks, it's a heavy gas, it settles into the valleys and homes and mines, and we're littered with old coal mines. And that is also common to Lee Summit, Missouri, and several other locations, including UK, all coal mines over there. Radon gas is a breakdown of uranium. Radium, you know, can be used as a fuel source. So we're only speculating, of course, that perhaps they are gathering that, or they like coal. Maybe it's because it's an organic material. Perhaps they need it. Maybe they don't have it where they come from. They eat it. We don't know.
Abandoned coal mines or active coal mines are another characteristic of hotspots. If listeners know about Ellen Crystal's work, she wrote Silent Invasion, which is essentially about an area in upstate New York called Pine Bush. She investigated that area with a lot of enthusiasm and brought a lot of attention to it. In fact, I think she was the one who put it on the map of as a UFO hotspot. Do you think there are similarities here with your area in Pine Bush and these other areas?
I actually haven't read the book. If fact, you mentioned in there about the mines that her book said that in there. And, you know, her and Dr. Bruce Cornett both studied the same area, and he did a lot of scientific study using different, you know, what was available equipment to him at the time. Really, I didn't want to look at their materials, you know, because I didn't want to bias my observation.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, now that you've said that, I am going to read the books, see what they said, and see how many things match up.
You would love the book. I forgot to bring it. I was going to bring it and go over a couple passages that connect right to what you're doing. Ellen Crystal, she, in that book, they also discussed underground bases and mining. She actually heard the drilling sounds under the ground. And she was walking with some friends of hers that she recently met who are familiar with a lot of this material, and I believe they're from California. And they were walking across the fields in pine bush back in the 80s, and they would encounter a release of hot air from an unknown source in the ground that had a stale smell to it, as if it were coming from an underground area, and it was a discharge of air. She suspects that they were mining, there was underground facilities, and these ships were cloaked. Some of them were 100 or more feet across. Some of them were just as big as football fields, or would cover the entire length of a particular field and be invisible. Not quite what you're seeing. However, the connection or the parallel is the mining.
Well, there is a connection. The Taos hum type sound is heard quite loudly at my house and is more pronounced in the lower levels, like in the basement. When I listen to the good recordings of Taos.wave, which is the one that sounds the best, played over a good sound system with a subwoofer, it's the undulations are different. Some guy in UK, I forget the town, it's on a MUFON report in May of 2009. A sound engineer had a saucer, I guess, go over him, and he recorded it. And when we played that back, it made all the hairs on our arms stand up, because it could be a similar type of sound generation. And there's Lars, Scotland has that hum. There's Bristol, UK has that hum. I think there's a place in Australia, somewhere in Canada, besides Taos, Mexico. And Murrysville has that hum, and it's only around that same area they think to gravitate to. I could drive 2 miles down the road, and I don't hear it. So I think that is connected to it. And if that is them mining, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised either. We've certainly had a lot of reports earlier this year with the loud noises and underground sounds. However, when it gets to that level, breaking into the mainstream news and its frenzy of information, I just don't trust it. What is your take on the bigger picture here, based on the information you're gathering?
I get over 50 messages a day. My other YouTube contacts and other local area people, we're trying to keep in touch real time in case there's any change in their behavior. It's been what most people have noticed. It's like an invasion level of number of crafts that are coming here and the frequency, and they're getting bolder, they're getting sloppier, they're letting us see them in daytime sometimes now. When military helicopters came into my area, Apaches, fully armed, I had the local police chief, well, he's a commanding officer now. He was promoted, actually, after he reported his sightings in my area to the military. Yeah.
Can you go back to the fully armed Apache helicopters?
Yeah. This is going to sound like I spy and ooh and all that, but I had gotten a random phone call sometime late, I think it was in 2009, from a guy who used to work for Homeland Security. And this guy, he said I was easy to track down. He sent me a letter in the mail that told me to call him. And then to erase the message and stuff on that he had sent me on online and stuff, and turn my computer off and all this other junk. pretty much a warning saying that if I filmed any more interesting evidence, you know, like ET's walking around or something like that, that I'd post it online or I might get a knock at my door. And I said, really? And what would they tell me? He says, well, I don't want to, you know, sound alarmist or anything like that, but, you know, it might be taken offline. I'm like, what's that supposed to mean?
I mean, you're not worried about this, are you?
No, even though right after that, it was within a month that my channel was hacked the first time. This guy online who started harassing me and making videos on me, names and a hoax, and even pretending to be my daughter, you know, in a trampy type of way. This guy told me, he said, make your videos private or delete them. Either one works for me, he told me. And I basically told him myself. And he said, let the games begin. And then I got all kind of harassed. There's still about 100 videos out there. And they just keep making multiple channels and reloading the same videos, saying they debunked me or, you know, my hoaxer showing me, you know, cartoon, taking my real face off, I hacked my Facebook account. My cartoon characters, you know, with crystal balls and all kind of other cookies.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm laughing about it because It's so funny, you know, the stuff that they've done. You know, some of this stuff, like cutting on my dead mother, things like that. They tried everything to intimidate me and threaten me. They're doing it to a couple other people. The guy in Fresno, Robert Thorson, he's filming similar type of UFO crafts. And they just relentless, you know, accused him of being a child molester, all kinds of things.
Oh, boy. So he's getting really good night material?
Well, he has cut some good triangle craft footage. In fact, the Chasing UFO show, they took some of his footage. It's supposed to appear in one of their episodes. It was on the TV news outlet page.
It seems to me you get their attention, meaning Homeland Security and the government agencies who monitor this, when you start to reach a large number of people.
I don't know if it's that or because I would not stop going out night after night after night with binoculars and upgraded to, you know, HD cams and $3,000 night vision setups, which does allow you to see more of what's really going on. You're missing a lot if you don't have quality night vision.
What I thought was really interesting is your material on the craft, the UFOs mimicking planes. You've caught some incredible stuff. Some friends of mine have caught stuff. I've caught mimicry, but you have some of the best I've ever seen. And what are your thoughts on that? What's going on here?
Well, I think that they find it easy. I mean, they can morph their shape and size, change the color of their lights, turn all their lights off. They can shrink back down into this little sphere that goes invisible like a bubble and shoot around like meteors. We've seen them do meteors in reverse. If I had a camera mounting on my head 24/7, I'd have even better stuff to wow everybody with, because I've had like a dim orange orb just drop straight out of the sky and do like a controlled slowdown to a disappearing state, you know, maybe probably 20 feet off of the ground, a larger one did that. You know, like a ride at a roller coaster comes into a controlled stop. That type of controlled motion from fast to stop and went invisible. I had a fuzzy green one drop down to see what I was doing when I was hitting some of the orbs in the woods with the laser. One dropped, I mean, it was like maybe 8 feet away from me, about the size of a soccer ball, and it was a fuzzy, dim, dark green color. And it went invisible about 3 feet from the surface of my deck. I knew it was there. I caught it out of the corner of my eye. My camera was on a tripod pointed at the woods where they were coming out. And
during the day or at night?
No, at night. I have seen some things in the daytime, but that's before I even had an HD camera. It's like, you know, I got all this stuff. And I've even asked them, can't you just show up in the daytime one time again? You know, and we've seen like a V shape. It was tumbling and had like a golden metallic surface to it, tumbling, but moving up against the wind around noonish. I mean, there has been times where I'd see what looked like a glint of, you know, like a glitter. And, you know, I try to put on a night shot with the IR filter over it, and boom, there's like a little thing going whizzing by, and it even picked it up. some little zzzz sound on my camcorder. Mm-hmm. One of my earlier videos that got deleted, unfortunately, you know, a lot of that footage is gone because I had everything backed up to a drive that fell on the floor. So it won't boot up anymore, and they're like, oh, it'll be about $800 if you want to
retrieve it, yeah.
But there was only maybe four or five clips I really missed. The rest of it's posted online, or somebody had a copy of it or something. But I said, well, I'll just shoot more. You know, just like when they hacked my channel. Like, go ahead, keep deleting my stuff. I've had viruses sent to my computer from logging on to sites like Above Top Secret, where they debunk those foods. A couple of the ones that harass me hang out there, and I'm told that they're, what do you call them? PsyOps.
What do you think is going on with these occupants, or if you even think there are occupants?
Well, only because my contact out in Oregon, who took my mojo, and by the way, there's a list of about 100 or more others. I've lost count, and I can't fit any more names on my channel page because, you know, you're only allowed so many letters. And so it has locations of worldwide and states in the U.S., and their YouTube channel name, so you can go and check it out yourself. But he took my mojo in Oregon. He won't disclose the location because he doesn't want to ruin his chances to actually meet them face-to-face. They've been within a couple hundred feet away from him across a stream.
Very smart.
Safe. You know, they feel safe being that far, but it's taken him, like 2 years at least to get them used to him, where they turn off their lights, and you could see humanoid type, but they're glowing. And we're not sure why they're glowing. And the craft shells seem like they're a little translucent, where you can actually see movement behind there. And the stories from abductees that I've heard, you know, about it, a taller being that's in charge with smaller grays or whatever with them. He actually has footage, and it's, you know, behind a translucent shell. So it's not real clear, but you could see what looks like a taller one. The smaller one holds something up, and the fast movement of the tall one reaching its arm out to stroke the head of the smaller one is, like, amazing.
Have you seen that?
Yes. I'll send you a link to it. You should isolate that footage to put it where you don't have to watch the whole 9-minute thing, because it's right towards the end, and a lot of people will be like, well, it just looks like a bunch of blurry things moving around, you know, behind a shade or something.
I started looking at his channel, and amazing. It looks like psychedelic art sometimes.
Yeah, the orbs seem to come back in, and then, you know, they get all bright and stuff and rejoin. They're probably, if we could see that in daytime, them doing whatever they do in the morphing real time. If somebody had some pictures, and I'll send you the link to that. It's posted in May somewhere in by London. And he's got some good daytime pictures, and it's similar to what Paul Shishish, I don't know how to say it right, out in Canada, had taken some good daytime pictures of this crazy-looking morphing. It looks like crazy tinfoil. Every picture is a different thing. It would be great if it was in video to see the morphing real time, but it's incredible how they can just do that, and living beings, presumably, inside of it, they can withstand this morphing thing going on. And for a while, we thought maybe they were remotely controlled, you know, perhaps they're in their home planet back there, and they just send these crafts around, and they're videotaping it all or something. The safety of their planet, you know, they're not really here physically or something like that.
Sure.
It's all speculation at this point. Unless they tell us what they're doing, we're just speculating.
Totally, we're speculating. And one speculation on that, the piece of tinfoil or the extreme morphing, it's, wait, how can something even be in that? We could be seeing just an artifact of what's really there. In our visible spectrum, we see an artifact of what's there, possibly.
I just know that whatever that is, and whatever, however it comes here in the propulsion and anti-gravity or how they do the things, it seems to require electricity, because in my area, and it's even noted by, there's a video on Roger Marsh's Tremont Avenue YouTube channel called UFO Witness, and it's interviewing a security guard at a mall that was close, well, it used to be close by my house. It was torn down, but back in the 80s, a big cigar UFO went over the parking lot and melted the transformer things down in the ground for the whole mall. the electricity, the West Penn Power employee said that they got a memo saying that UFOs were seen regularly sucking power in Delmont, PA, which is a couple miles away from Murraysville. So my power goes off in the AM so often, and it's only on clear nights, non-rain nights, when that'll happen. You know, and just makes all your clocks flash, and then the power comes back on. So I got that ghost meter, the tri-filled EMF meter with the extended 10X coil on it.
Uh-huh.
Over my bedroom window, mainly because I don't want these suckers sneaking up on us. They're common times that they will show up in the AM early, between typically 3 and 5 AM.
Man.
And, you know, I've chased them across the road into the farm field. When I saw it over my neighbor's house, it was like 4:15 AM in the morning. It took 11 minutes just to cross the little farm field and go over a hill. Totally silent. I was running up after it, still on my backup channel, Morse. But, I mean, I stopped dead in the middle of the road because I realized, hey, they could attack me, and nobody in my house even knows I left.
You said this is on a video?
Yeah, December 2nd, 2009, UFO I chased on foot. If you Google that on YouTube, you'll find it. When I got hacked the first time, I made the backup channel called More Seeing UFOs, PA, and I started loading the videos on there.
Oh, I gotcha.
Okay. They filed false copyright claims on me first to suspend my channel. 12 of them, and saying that they were the people that shot my video, and blah, blah, blah. So I made a backup one, and I started uploading the videos that I had on there. It's been a challenge, but you know, I like a challenge, obviously, or I wouldn't be chasing aliens at 4 o'clock in the morning. So.
I'm really impressed. Do you suspect you were abducted?
I've only had one thing, and I really haven't shared that online, but I didn't think it was totally that it had anything to do with UFOs. It happened about 7 months before we saw the first UFO in 2008. I had an experience that now I'm questioning whether, in fact, it was related to them, perhaps their power sucking. Like when they sucked power off my house, when I was talking about that ghost meter, the ghost meter started pegging one night. It's above my bedroom window. My daughter heard it. She goes, this thing's going wild in here, and went in with the recorder and stuff. And when those things go off, I kept a camera next to the bed, an SLR camera with the focus turned off, disabled that, just had the flash on. And when that thing goes off, I whip the window open and start snapping pictures. Well, I caught a long streak of a small object racing towards my electric meter. And it looks orange, and it's in that video that's called Multicolored UFOs and Best Orb Proof I've Gotten. See that shot in there, and you'll see other shots that my surveillance cam is a military-grade infrared at night. It has a Sony CCD, so it goes to night shot at night automatically. That thing has caught these orbs flying around my house. Mm-hmm. Zero. They can't be blamed on bugs or bats or anything else. And they're coming up to my house. And I'm thinking that has to be why the power goes off, because the power company can't tell me there's any power outages that should cause my power to be cut to my house so often.
Is your bill higher?
You know, I have a hot tub in the yard, so I'm not sure if that's what could make it. It's about average, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're sucking it before it hits the meter, I hope.
Right. That would be the nice thing to do, I guess. Allison, let's get back to what you think, if they're dangerous or benevolent. What are your thoughts on these?
People are like, well, they're friendly, or they're evil, they're demons. I have to stay open-minded because, number one, the technology presented might appear to our eyes as being similar to those that have been seen and reported in areas of cattle and human mutilation and attacks, like in Colares, Brazil. Colares, Brazil. Look that up. There's a whole series on YouTube. And people were attacked in their homes, lasers shining through the ceilings and hitting people, leaving marks in the chest, making people anemic, which, as we know, cattle mutilations, they're drained of blood. There was a human mutilation case in Pennsylvania on the other side of the state from me. The guy went out riding his ATV, and they found him dead in his underwear, and they wouldn't let his wife see the body. Apparently, it was drained of blood. Maybe some other thing. We don't know the details. And so that's when I stopped chasing them around in the dark by myself, because after looking at the drawings and the behavior of not only cattle mutilations, which you'll find a lot of people saying, oh, well, it looked like there was a helicopter around there, so it must be some secret government ops that are really doing that, trying to scare us into thinking all UFOs are evil or something like that. However, we have seen them. I even have a local lady that's a couple miles from me had what she thought was a helicopter trying to pretend to be a UFO, landed in her yard away from her house, and she was sitting on the back porch 100 feet from her house next to high pine trees. It landed, shut off lights and sound. It actually had a fake sound. And walked up to it to say, hey, what the hell are you doing in my yard? It's a big flat area surrounded by pines and stuff. And as soon as she got, you know, 15, 20 feet towards it, instant on lights and sound, and whoosh, took off in the sky.
If you have any comments or questions for Allison Cruz, call us at 212-209-2900 and we'll be right back after this break.